talk about different aspects of relationships. And week one, our boy Will back there speaking on knowing your identity in Christ before ever pursuing a relationship. Our girl Ashley Key, who came and just gave us some great pointers and advice on Christian dating. And then we had our awesome breakout sessions last week. And so I heard that those were incredible while I was away in Arizona. So I'm sad that I missed them, but I'm so glad that you guys had an awesome time. Well, tonight we are wrapping it up because, as the old saying goes, right? First comes love, then comes marriage. So of all the things that we've talked about now, we are ending it with at least the end goal, hopefully, of dating, which is marriage. And so what better people for me to invite to come speak to us than my own parents? Wow. So give a hand to Pastor Matt and Pastor Lori. Yeah. Take your little seats. You can move them however you want to.
Is it okay if we take off our jackets?
Oh. Oh, no. Yikes. Yikes. Help. Help. Well,
testing.
Yeah, someone go ahead and get the.
Our goal tonight is to embarrass Sky as much as possible.
Yeah. It'll happen. And if it is your first week and I haven't introduced myself, my name is Pastor Sky. I'm the youth pastor. And these happen to be my parents, but they are also the pastors at Harvest. So if you guys don't have a church that you go to on Sunday mornings, this would be who you would see on Sunday mornings. And they would not be wearing these shirts, but they do wear these in public, everyone. So if you've ever wondered if anyone's parents are more embarrassing than yours, Exhibit A. Okay. So I'm going to give you guys a chance to possibly ask them some questions. So while we're talking, while we're doing this whole thing, think of some things. If you have any questions about relationships that haven't been answered yet, or you just want to know some more things about them, we're going to have a chance at the end for you guys to ask some questions. But until then, I've got some that I wrote down, and I did send them to them. I don't have any surprise questions, so if you guys want to ask them something funny, have it in the queue, okay? Have it in the queue of your mind, and I'll ask later. So, first things first, tell us how you guys met. Not the whole, you don't have to go in the whole story.
Direct it to who you want.
What do you mean?
You guys always want me to answer.
Okay, Father. Okay. Tell us how you guys met.
We met at her dad's church in Fort Worth, Texas, back in 1983. And
you said 19? 19? Keep going. It's a TikTok thing.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. 1983, and yeah, that's how it happened. Her dad introduced us.
All right, Mom, go into more detail.
All right, so my dad was a pastor, and I was going up to him after church to get money from him because we always would go out with the youth. And he was talking to this guy right here who at the time was 17, and I was 15, and he goes, "Hey, this is my daughter." And I introduced us, and I got the money, and I just remember when I walked away thinking, gosh, he's really tall and skinny. He was really skinny. And he has a really big smile and big lips. Anyway, I noticed that right away.
What the heck is going on?
Well, thank you. okay, so what actually, like, how did you guys actually end up dating then? Like, you just a tall, skinny guy, and dad just says, "We met." So how did it end up happening? What's going on here?
Do you want
to... Dad,
okay.
Give us a little bit more this time. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I think we both say that when we got back from the... Well, I got back from the 84 Olympics. I was really going through this...
Okay, you were not in the Olympics. Clarify what was going on. You were not in the 1984 Olympics.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you just said when I got back from the Olympics. He's not an athlete. He's an athlete, but he's not that good, everybody. Okay.
Why did I say yes to this? Okay. Anyway, so we had got back from the missions trip to the 84 Olympics, and she had to go see family or something up north. But when we saw each other again, I think it was one of the first times we hugged. And and so that kind of, but it was a while after that even, but that's kind of where that started. But we actually started dating because there was a girl that was her friend that wanted to ask me to start being, I don't know, in a relationship. And Lori was like, oh, heck no, I'm going to ask him to prom first. And so she beat her friend to that.
Oh.
I think that's, I definitely got that correct.
But Mom, is it not true that he did ask you out and you said no before that? Yes?
Oh, that's true. Okay.
That was, I mean, there was an interest there that sparked a friendship, I guess. I mean, I definitely felt, you know, a chemistry, but I just wanted to hang around with him. So we started hanging out. I was probably, 16 at the, I was 17 when we started hanging out. And so he asked me out, and I was like, that would just be too weird to go out with you because you're like my brother.
Oh! Not the brother.
So he determined at that point that he would never ask me out again. So that's when, you know, several months later, I had to ask him to my senior prom. Mm-hmm. But I'd always prayed that God would give me a Christian to go to prom with, and he did. I didn't know I was going to marry my prom date, though.
That's true. But the year before when you guys went to prom, what was that situation?
Well, yes, I will tell this. So my sister actually asked my husband to her prom. So he went to her prom. He was my sister's prom date. And she actually roped me into going with his friend because his friend didn't have a date. So I was at his senior prom too. I just wasn't his date and I wasn't interested in him at all at that time.
But my aunt wasn't, but you guys, they still went together. Okay, so I want to know, what is the funniest story that you have of the other while you were dating? Like, what's like the funniest thing that you can remember the other person doing, or just like...
I should have looked at the questions you said.
I did send you the questions ahead of time. I can't believe you didn't. I'm offended now. What's the funniest story that you guys have of each other while you were dating? Or a funny moment? While they were dating? Aylin.
Well, I'll just tell on ourselves. We broke a rule once. Yeah, and he stayed. My dad was a pastor. I can't believe he had the guts to do this, but he's... it was kind of funny that we got caught.
Explain yourselves.
Anyway, we had to break up because he stayed at my house. Like, he was supposed to be gone at a certain time, and he was there. My mom woke up, and she's like, Matt's still here? It's 2 a.m. Anyway, so we had to break up. But it was kind of...
That's not funny.
Why isn't this funny? We laugh about it now.
Okay, for the sake of their wonderings, why were you there till 2 a.m.?
We just love to talk.
Oh, they love to talk. Guys, wholesome stuff going on, okay? But don't do it. Don't let it happen.
Oh, man.
I just want to clarify here.
I think the funniest thing that I did to her...
Uh-oh.
Was one night I got a 20-foot ladder because her room was way up in the air.
We were dating it, though.
Yeah,
just go.
And yeah, we were. I thought we were.
We weren't dating.
Just tell the story.
Okay, so I've shared this before, but if you take a washer and you tie a string to it, and then you put it up on a window and you tape it, and then you run the string back through the washer and go around once, well, then you can go anywhere in the woods or next door with this long string, and you can tap on somebody's window. Come on, guys. That's pretty cool. And I scared Lori to death because I would tap on the window, and she'd come and look out, and there was nobody there. Anyway. So we kept tapping on... I kept tapping on the window.
He would prank me all the time. I'd come out on a Sunday morning to go to church, and the front window of my car would be shoe polished, but he'd leave me a hole so I could see to drive to church. This happened all the time.
All the windows.
It was great. All the windows would be just shoe polished. Anyway, don't do this at home.
Don't prank the person.
Guys, that's how you win your girls, okay? I'm just trying to give you some advice here.
Okay. Take notes. Take notes then. Take notes, guys.
Joking.
Take notes. Okay. So on a less funny note, I want you guys, because we're going to get to, obviously you guys are married now, but newsflash. Whoa. Jump scare. I want to know, what is something difficult that you guys experienced while you were dating?
Probably resisting things you shouldn't be doing when you're dating.
Okay.
Yeah, just to be real, that's a real thing.
That, and I think we broke up a lot because I was in California going to school and she was in Missouri and then back in Texas. So there was that distance that we went through. That was really hard because she was almost engaged to another guy.
Well, then when we were broken up, I almost got engaged.
Yeah.
But then I would want to get back together and then he would be dating someone. We broke up a lot, you guys. It was not a good dating. That's why we did not talk about dating, because we weren't good at it.
Yeah, definitely.
Major red flags everywhere. Just screaming.
A lot of breaking up, yeah.
Well, Mom, you can expand then a little bit on, because last week we talked a little bit about just purity and the temptations that you face. And I know that, and it's said over and over again that things that we experience now are different from you guys because we have so much access to everything. But that doesn't mean that the temptation from really the devil is not the same. So when you guys were younger, how was it, like, how did you fight that temptation? If you guys had like a godly way that you did that, or yeah.
Yeah, the struggle is real. But it helped going into dating that having a standard. We'd already set a standard for ourselves, like, these are lines I'm not going to cross before I get married, that kind of thing, because you're going to be tested in those standards that you set for yourself that are biblical. And so I'm grateful that we had done that. I'm grateful that I was dating a guy that agreed with those standards, because you have to find somebody to date that also is like-minded. And so how would we fight it? I mean, I prayed a lot as a young person for God to give me self-discipline, self-control. And it's a character trait to really pursue in your relationship with the Lord. And it comes in a lot. It looks different for a lot of parts of your life, like cleaning up after yourself in the kitchen. That's a self-discipline, you know. Exercise, that's a self-discipline. But resisting temptation to do things you shouldn't do, that's also a self-discipline. And I tell people, it's funny because, and this is part going into marriage, but if you don't have self-control when you're dating, you're going to need it also when you're married. And here's what's different. When you're dating, you really want to, you know, cross those lines and experience sex and all that stuff before you should. So you have to have the self-discipline not to. But when you're married, sometimes you have to have the self-discipline to say, I'm going to have sex even when I don't want to. Do you know what I mean? Because my partner needs that, and that's important. And so the self-discipline helps you before and after for different reasons. So it's a character trait to pursue. I'm not saying I don't ever want to, you know, anyway. I'm just saying it's why a lot of marriages go south, because they stop, you know, being together. And sometimes, like I said, it's a self-discipline to say, I'm going to be with you. We're going to have these nights. We're going to, you know, be committed to this in our marriage so that you keep the fires burning, because you need to do that.
Yeah, and I would even say to you guys, and I want everybody to hear me when I say this, I think all of you have dreams of what you think or want or would wish that your life would look like in 10 to 15 years. And I want to tell you that in just one night of passion, you get pregnant or your girlfriend gets pregnant, those dreams are put on hold.
Yeah.
I had uncles that were supposed to go and full scholarships to go play baseball, and they both got their girlfriends pregnant, and they had to immediately start working and forego school. They never went to school. They never got to play baseball. It was done. So you have to keep that in mind, is that there is a reason why the Lord wants us to do this together when we're married. Mm-hmm. because then we get to plan this. We get to actually choose how we want to raise our families and when we want to raise our families. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep in mind, I'm telling you, you can say, well, I know how to get, no, you don't know how to get around it. Yeah. I promise you, once it happens, it's done and all things stall. So it's just a little bit of.
Yeah, that's good. Besides, and this should be quick, because I know we have some different things. I know that they talked about it a little bit, but just in case someone missed that, what is the reason, maybe even besides pregnancy, because maybe someone's like, I don't care, whatever. What is like the reason biblically that we choose to wait until marriage to pursue those things?
Well, because there's just something that God designed us, you know, for marriage. It's a becoming one thing that happens when you have sex with someone. It's like this, it's almost like a supernatural thing that you're giving part of yourself to that they're giving, and you become one. And that's not meant to be done outside of marriage, because you start giving pieces of yourself away to people for a temporary pleasure. And it just wreaks havoc on you. You probably know people like that have just given themselves away, and they just start splitting. It's almost like their personalities start splitting off. And so it's for you to stay whole, for you to stay mentally whole. When I studied fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, I came across this scripture. I thought was so weird, but fornication is compared in the Bible to when Jacob sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Like, he gave everything, you know. Esau gave everything away to his brother, all of his just future amazing blessings. He gave it away for a bowl of stew. And honestly, you guys, a one-night stand or a whatever fling, it's really, you know, in some ways, it's just a bowl of stew. Stew can be really good when you're hungry, and then it's over, and then you're hungry again, like, you know, whatever. So don't give up something so amazing, so future, so the blessing, the plan that God has for your life. Don't give it up for a bowl of stew, for a, you know, whatever.
Not to mention the devastation that happens in relationships if you don't end up with that person.
Yeah.
You know, and you might think, this is it for me. But the reason that it's in that covenant of marriage is that that person's never supposed to leave you. Mm-hmm. You know, so to then have maybe that split away, and then they take that part with you. They know a part of you that they were never meant to, and you were never meant to know that part of them too. So anyways, that's a side note. I just wanted you guys to touch on that a little bit. How did you two know that you two wanted to marry each other? Like, what was that moment? I think a lot of us just in general are like, how do I know if I've found the one, you know? And it's like, you know? And so I just want to know, like, your guys' experience.
I think for me was, you know, when she came out to go to school where I was my senior year, there was something that just kind of happened to where there had been a breakup. She said she was coming out. I told her, don't come out. She came out anyway. And then we were already kind of at a little bit of a fracture. And so most of the year, we just weren't pursuing each other at all. And I had a dude that I played ball with that said, he just goes, why are you and Lori not together? And I remember when he said it, because, you know, guys, we had dated on and off for 3.5 years. And I remember I couldn't give him a good answer why we weren't together. And so I got a hold of her. I wanted to go talk to her, and we ended up talking about it. And she was going home for spring break. And I knew when she left for spring break that she might not come back. That was part of the conversation. And I remember that I couldn't let that happen. There was just something inside me that said, I can't let her go, because I'll be honest with you, what happened was during the times that we weren't dating each other, and I think she would say she did the same, is I could be with a girl that was really cool, pretty, whatever I was looking for, but I always caught myself comparing her relationship with me to my relationship with Lori. And nobody ever stood up to her. Lori was the first Christian girl I ever dated. I remember, like, the first 2 times we went out, I didn't even kiss her because I didn't want to mess it up, because I was used to girls that were just, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, they were, Anyway, they just good to go. I don't know how to say it. I don't know. They were just like, and I remember when I met her, she wasn't like that. And I was like, I can't mess this up. I don't want to lose her. Like, there's something that I know that God has put in my life that was very significant to me. And I didn't want to spend another day without her. Like, that's kind of how it happened. I remember even when I wasn't serving God, and guys, I wasn't, there were turnoffs for me. And one of them was I couldn't stand girls with foul mouths. And I'm not serving God at all. I've got the foul mouth. But if they swore, I would just go, nope. If they smoked, nope. I mean, it was just like there was this thing, and I wasn't even serving God. And so here I meet this girl, doesn't swear, doesn't smoke, you know, unbelievably pretty, all this. But I'm experiencing God at the same time. Right. So for me, I would say the hook for me was I found somebody that loved God just as much as I did. Mm-hmm. So it was, anyway, that was a big change for me.
What about you, Mom? Would you say the same, or?
Yeah, because we started dating when I was, 2 weeks before I turned 17, I think, is when we started dating. But then, like he said, we dated on and off for 3.5 years, so mostly off because we were always breaking up. And he was going off to college. I was going off to college. And we tried long distance. It didn't really work. But I kept thinking I was going to meet somebody else that was better than Matt, and I never did. And I was just thinking, you know, gosh, and we had kind of fallen in love, too. At one point, I had told him, I love you. And that was, I'd always said I wouldn't say I love you till I knew I was willing to also marry a person that I said I love you to. And I never fell in love again. Kind of thought I was. Like he said, I almost got engaged to another guy. But I just knew, no, this isn't, I don't have that passion for him that I did for Matt. And I don't want to settle, you know. So like he said, when I came out to California, I pursued him. When I realized that was love and I might never find love again, I'm going for it. And my mom was like, I remember a conversation I had with my mom one day. I said, Mom, I don't know if I'll ever fall in love again. I think I might need to just go get Matt. And she goes, because I was planning on going to a school in Oklahoma at that time, and I was already signed up. I had my roommate. I had everything. I was 6 weeks away from leaving. And I'm having this talk with my mom, and I said, I just feel like maybe if I just don't, I just need to go get him. And she goes, yeah, that's what you need to do. You need to go, because he's going to school in California. My mom, like, in one conversation, decided I could just go to school in California. And it was crazy, but that's how much my mom had liked Matt, and she believed it. So I went to school out there to pursue him his senior year, and I got there, and he was, like, being a jerk. And I was like, what was I thinking? He is such a jerk. Why was I into him? So the whole school year, we couldn't be in the same room together. I mean, it was like a love-hate relationship. If I wasn't dating him, I could not stand him. And so we ignored each other. We would just not go to things if the other person was there. Oh. And then the end of school is when he decided, oh, I should actually go after Lori. And when he did, the Lord softened my heart, and I was like, yes, you're the one. Anyway. So I just knew that I didn't want to live without him. I just knew that I loved him. I was in love with him, and I didn't want to live the rest of my life without him.
Yeah, I know. And this is going to go hand in hand with the next question that I ask, too. So it'll probably end up being a repeat. But what would you say is, like, the most important thing to look for in a future spouse? Like, you're dating somebody, maybe it's fun, maybe it's cool, and you just, like, don't know if it's going to continue, because sometimes you get into situations like that, but then you go, am I going to marry this person? What should I be looking for in them? Like, what would be that deal breaker?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, both of you need to love the Lord and be pursuing the Lord first, because you want somebody that's put God first in their lives. You don't want them to put you first and vice versa. And in fact, I think God had us break up one time because we were putting the other person first and we were kind of neglecting our faith. So anyway, somebody that puts God first, somebody that really just is kind and... I like to say three things about Matt. He's my best friend, and that's how it's this started. It started as a friendship, so it was, you know, had a solid foundation. I like to say that he's my home. Matt is my home. Doesn't matter where he lives. If he wants to move, you know, in the future to some place or be a missionary, whatever, if God's called him to do that, I feel like he's right. God's called. I'm going because he's my home. It's not a place. He is my home. So, and then the third thing is he's my hobby. Like, I just want to do stuff with Matt. Like, he's my hobby. Like, what's he up for today? Let's go. Where does he want to travel? Let's go. Like, that is what I look for. I don't know if I actually looked for that, but that's what it's become. I've noticed that those are the things that.
Yeah.
I would say this, guys. Let me just say, you know, be brave enough to notice that when you start dating somebody, if they're not right for you. Girls, especially girls, listen to what I'm saying. If you're with a guy and you know he's not right for you, be brave enough to make the decision to let that go as soon as possible. Because when I was in high school, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not just the guys, but I know girls can do this too. I knew the girls that I didn't want to be within 10 feet of just because I knew what they were about. And so I would see my buddies get with these girls, or girls would get with these guys, and it was just hell on earth for them. And again, it's not because I was living for the Lord then; it wasn't. I just, for some reason, God gave me the ability to understand: do I want to invest in this relationship any further when I know it's horrible? And you got to be brave enough to recognize it and end it as fast as possible.
So I have two more questions, okay. And then I will open it up. And so we've got about 10-ish minutes, but we'll do less than that, just so that they can have some time. But how, and one of you guys can answer this, and one of you guys can answer the other question, but so you can choose. But how have you guys kept your marriage so strong? Because how long have you guys been married?
It'll be 35 years in October.
35 years in October. Yeah. So how have you guys kept your marriage so strong over these years? With three perfect children.
That's an easy answer. You want to say it at the same time? Do you think we're going to have the
child.
Same answer?
Yeah, we'll have the same
answer. Okay, one, two, three. Dating. Date night.
Yeah, dating each other.
He said dating, and I said date night.
Date night. Yeah. Before we got married, guys, we made the decision that every Friday night, no matter what, we were going to go out on a date. And if we were sick on Friday, we'd go Saturday, or we'd go on Sunday, but we would make sure every week, no matter what, we went out on a date. And dates can be different, whatever you want them to be, but I didn't want to stop dating the girl that I fell in love with. So that's really, honestly, that is the, besides God, of course, God's the key, but the dating is what kept it fresh and has kept it fresh.
Yeah, we never let excuses come like, you know, we don't have enough money, or we have babies now, we have to stand with our babies. No, we didn't. We left our babies with a babysitter, and we went on date night because if you don't nurture that marriage, if you don't put deposits into the bank of your marriage, you're not going to get to raise your babies together. You're going to end up separated, and then your babies are going to suffer.
That's
so
good.
You're investing in your babies by getting your baby a babysitter. Because mom and dad are staying in love. Mom and dad are keeping the fires burning, and they're going to be around to raise you.
Yeah, we are.
So, yeah.
That's good. And for reference, guys, the wedding that I went to last weekend was my babysitter from the time that I was 6 months old.
Yeah.
And she got married. So, anyways, you know, lifelong. We love it. And then lastly, mom or dad, you can either one. So there are people in this room that have gone their lives not necessarily seeing a perfect marriage worked out in their household. And so whether it's a fear for their future, their kids' future, or even just like it's hard to be at home, you know, because of the situation that's going on, whether it is a current situation or whether it was a past divorce and now they're between houses, whatever it is that's causing a rift, how would you encourage that student that's in the room? This is why I wish that you worked on the questions.
I would encourage that student to pray that God would put you into a family that has a healthy marriage so that you can, you know, give you a friend that their parents have a strong marriage so you can be around them and experience, you know, what it's like to just see a healthy, you know, loving couple in the home. And because not every home has that, but you, it's good to see it for yourself and know that there's hope, because all of you can have that.
Yeah, and I would say this too, if you have experienced that or you are experiencing that now, it doesn't mean that you can't ask God to have what we're talking about up here.
Right.
And I think that that's something that you need to take to the Father. Lori told me a story that her grandmother would have her and Joni kind of, I think around age 12, started praying for their future husbands. And she started praying for me when I was 13 years old. And I didn't even know it, but she was already going to God for me. And so there's no reason that if you come from a household that has just been a disaster or you feel like you didn't get a fair shake, I promise you, God, you're here. You're making your choice to follow the Lord. And so here's the time now to just go, Lord, I want a good marriage. I want a wonderful husband, or I want a wonderful wife. I want somebody that I can spend the rest of my life with. If you start taking that to him now, I promise you, he's going to bless you with it.
And I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that we're saying the goal of life is to be married.
Right, right, yeah.
That is not what we're saying. It's not for everyone. God even says in the New Testament that there's just some people that are called to singleness, and that's a great thing. I mean, Paul was not married. It's okay. So that's not the goal, but if marriage is a desire of your heart, that's, you know, God's put that there, then, yeah, these are things you can be praying for.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I was going to mention that, too, so I'm glad that you touched on it. So, Morgan, can you grab one of their mics and do a little run around? So does anyone have – I know Nyshawn has a question. He's had a question. So, Nyshawn, wait, Morgan, screen the question first real fast. We had some issues, but last time.
All right, so this one is for Mr. Matt. Without Lori's help.
What, say it again?
Without your mom's help.
Oh, without your help. You have to answer this by yourself.
What is the anniversary date? Day and time. Not time, but month.
Yeah,
and
it's October
month and
14th.
Woo! Yeah!
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good question, man.
Does anyone else have a question that they've... want to ask? If not, it's okay.
Yeah. How do you guys handle arguments? Because, like, for example, Joppy is very patient, but I am not. So how do you handle that? At least I acknowledge it.
All right. Go ahead, Mom or Dad.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so... we had our first year of marriage was pretty tough. I mean, with her knee surgery, starting trying to help plant a church, we didn't have good salaries, so it was really rough. We ended up having to move back with my parents for a little while. So we had a lot of arguments. And so in our second year, we came under that scripture to not let the sun go down on your anger. Mm. And the reason I say that is that Lori and I can be really upset at each other, but we have made a choice to handle that, because if you don't and you go to bed and you get up the next day, what happens usually is this: you think you're going to wake up just as mad, but sometimes you go and you brush it off, but what happened is you bottled what you were feeling.
Good.
And so the next time you have a fight and you try to do that again, pretty soon one of us is going to explode and you say things you never wished you would ever say. So we try to handle it. Even if we have to stay up at 2 a.m, we are going to talk about it. We are going to deal with it the best that we can, because I don't want to have a volcano experience with her, and she doesn't want to do the same thing with me, and that's really, really helped us with that.
That's good.
There you go.
Okay, so I know, like, some people will go to bed if they're, like, getting too angry with each other at night because they will answer more calmly in the morning. So I know that's like going to bed, the sun going down on your anger or whatever, but is it like before it gets angry, just like go to bed and talk about it in the morning? Is that still like going against the Bible?
I didn't write the Bible, but it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. So that's just something we followed. I don't. I mean, I'm sure maybe there's couples that they can make it work.
I wouldn't recommend.
I would not recommend that.
I feel like I personally, as a single lady, I also don't do that with like friends. Like in just my friendships and relationships or different things that happen, like if I'm upset or, you know, like I have to talk about it right then, right? Like it will eat me alive, you know? And so that's just me personally, but it also is something that I don't want to let go.
Yeah. And I would say to yours, I think what you should start doing or what I would recommend for any of you is this: instead of going to bed and so you'll be calm tomorrow, that's where you can be during the day or even at night where you could just go, just give me some time. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, even if it's 3 or 4 hours. But it does let you calm down, but you still need to deal with it. You know what I mean? But that's helped us out a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
And then Michael will be our last question.
Oh,
then.
Yeah, I thought you had your hand raised.
Ooh. You guys can, we'll do both of them. Let's try to make them fast just so we don't go too long.
I had like two questions on my mind, but I'm picking between them.
Just do the one, and then you can ask them later. They'll still be here.
Okay. Do you think it's like a? I think I'll just say. Do you think it's like a? It's a problem when you get so close to someone, and then you like almost. How do I explain this? It's like a feeling of like it feels good to have someone apologize to you. You know what I'm saying? Like when they offend you, I guess, and then you're like, now you have to apologize to me. I guess because I think that can vary. There's like a fine line of that that can just become toxic because it's like, haha, now you have to apologize to me and I feel so good. And then you milk it or whatever. And then you're like, okay, fine, I forgive you. You know what I'm saying? But like, I think...
How to not be manipulative in your like forgiveness?
I guess, yeah. I mean, not that I'm facing that. But no, like, I guess it's just like a fine line of like, there's some things that it's just our human nature, but then there's like you can take it far further than that. So, I guess.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I've never really experienced that. Like, there's no joy for me to have a fight so that I can have an apology. Like, that's not good or a goal. And I think early on in our marriage, you know, we were kind of fighting for the power and whatever. But once we kind of settled into our roles and stuff, we don't really fight. I can't remember the last time I've had a fight with you.
If I'm wrong, I have no problem. I mean, well, let me take that back. There are times if I get really upset, it's hard to go apologize or say I'm wrong sometimes. But I have to buck up, saddle up, and do it because I know that, making up for it is awesome. So it's like, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, and
you know, but I don't want to hurt her anymore. So I need to tell her that I'm wrong. You know, I was wrong. No, it's all good.
I don't think that there's any like benefit in being prideful to hold back your apologies to other people and there is no grace or honestly, I don't think there's any Jesus in sitting there and demanding an apology either. Because like the Bible just says to forgive and give grace. And like that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. So even before you get that apology, you should already be working towards forgiveness. And so that's even outside of relationships. You might not even ever get the apology that you're looking for from some people in your life. How are you going to let that go and actually forgive them and not be like, I need this apology from you or else this is never going to be good? That's not Christ. Like, that's not Jesus. And so in our relationships, the goal should never be, I'm going to get him to apologize. I'm going to get her to apologize. And if she doesn't, blah, 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 like, that should never be your heart. It should be, how can I fix this? Like, how can I get to a point where we are reconciled and where we are friends or we are in love and we, you know, we are for each other again rather than like, I'm not going to like you until you apologize to me. Like, that's just wrong. It's not Christ-like.
Well, that's loud. So on like the topic of the passage where Paul is talking about singleness being better than marriage, how do you discern whether... that is, like, which route is correct? Because I know there's a lot of stuff in there about, you know, self-control and developing that, and also, you know, burning with passion. And it's like, well, is this just like something that the Lord is to grow in me, and then I'm not in that? So, like, what's your thoughts on that?
I've got some.
Yeah,
go ahead. Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm taking it up. Bro, I would say this, that I think it's one of those things where I had to make a decision, and we both made this decision, that there's a lot of people out there, especially ministers, that will make it God, ministry, and then family, where that's out of order. It should be God, you and your wife, family, then the ministry. Because if we're not good, then we can't minister to anybody. And I think that what Paul was speaking to, that if ministry is going to be first, and it's always going to be first before your family, then he's saying it's probably better you run this out on your own. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to be able to give your whole self to your wife or her whole self to her husband. Yeah, or your children. And we've seen many families that come from ministry parents or that are in ministry, and the family suffers because they've got it out of order. You know, that's why even like, we didn't even touch on this, but very quickly, let me just say this. Pornography is destroying marriages. And it's not because they started it while they were in their marriage, it's because they carried it into their marriage. And this is not just guys and girls. I think back the first time I was exposed to it, I was 6 years old, my brother was three. We went into a house, somebody had moved out, and in the bottom drawer they had left a bunch of magazines, and we found them. And so you got to imagine a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And so what happens is you carry that kind of stuff, and it becomes a destroyer, you know. And so I think that when you think of a scripture like that, I would just say this, that, man, especially if you're godly, don't compromise or don't settle for somebody just because you want to be dating somebody. I think you need to hold on, man, because it's going to happen. God already knows who you're going to be married to. Now, is that because you just made a horrible choice to go ahead and get married? God already knows. He already knows. So for me, and what I would encourage all of you, all you men and ladies here, is wait until God sends you the perfect person, and really, 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 really commit to that. Say, God, I want the best for my life. And it's not just job, money, the whole thing. It's actually two relationships, you know. So.
All righty. Well, can we give them a hand for all of their wisdom and their shirts, their matching shirts? We love to see it. Well, we'll talk later. Well, thank you for being here and for not reading the questions beforehand, but giving some really good answers.
I've known Sky her whole life.
Okay, thank you. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we've got some food, some little goodies in the back, everybody. Shout out. You guys are looking in the wrong direction, but anyways. But parents, I was going to ask you guys to pray.
Okay, pray for what, the food?
No, just for the night.
Oh, for the night.
And the food. Just throw the food in there. Yeah.
All right. All right, bow your heads. Okay, close your eyes, everyone. Ladies, close your eyes. Bow your heads. Thank you. All right, so how many of you, close your eyes. Still waiting for everybody to stop talking. Awesome. Okay, close your eyes. All right, how many of you would like to say right now, just with a hand raised, because I think these kind of moments are can be pivotal to your rest of your life, that you're saying, Lord, I want you to prepare me now for the future person you have for me. Would you raise your hand? Because there's going to be some sacrifices you're going to make if you want to be truly prepared for the person that God has for you. Amen. Okay, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you are speaking to hearts right now, God, and you're saying, I've got you, I've got a person for you, I've got a plan for you, trust me, wait on my timing, I'm not trying to just keep you from having fun, but I'm telling you to wait on things because I love you, because I have something wonderful for you, because I have a lifetime of purpose and meaning I have a future family for you. I have all those things, but wait for me and my timing. And Jesus, that's going to take self-discipline for these young people. That's going to take intentional study of getting to know you, staying close to you. God, I pray that they would seek after you first, that it would not be a girl being guy crazy or a guy being girl crazy, but they would be Jesus crazy, Lord, that they would be searching for and pursuing you, Lord, more than any person, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are going to just keep them until that day. I thank you that all these things that we talked about tonight that are things you wanted them to hear, the rest of it, Lord, you can throw away, but the things you really wanted them to take away, I pray that you'd seal it now in their hearts for the rest of their time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, wait, guys. We got one more thing.